My next guest is on the line. He is Jack Bloom, the DA Shadow Health MEC in Gauteng. And a very concerning article appeared in the Citizen very recently talking about the dire state of our hospitals. I don't think that's news to any of us. What is news to us is apparently some of them are even starving. So, Mr. Bloom, firstly, thank you for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
And secondly, you've raised concerns about patients starving in Gauteng hospitals. I mean, what is going on?
Well, it's not as dire as starving, but I heard reports from Sharpeke Johannesburg Hospital last week that patients weren't getting proper food, and I went there to see for myself, and it turned out that that lunch was the problem. The hospitals are able to do breakfast and supper, but they were getting cookery's factory. There's a provincially run cookery's factory in Pretoria that does plated meals, and that was supposed to be their lunch. But imagine this, the cookery's factory was closed down because they found E. coli in the food. Can you imagine a health facility that's so badly run that you could get poisoned by the food that they provide? So the hospital, you know, suddenly, it happened 2 weeks ago, didn't have plated meals for lunch. And the best they could do, and I saw what they were providing, was, you know, a single piece of bread with a little bit of margarine, a little bit of cheese, which is clearly inadequate. I mean, you're sick, you're vulnerable, and you're not getting a nutritious meal to help you recover. So, in fact, you know, I was told that relatives have to bring in food. I mean, it's not as dire as starving, but, you know, you do need to get nutritious food to get better in a hospital.
I'm really glad that you picked me up for that. Thank you. The source that I was relying on did use that word, but I take it on the nose that that is not the case. So thank you for correcting me. But I do want to understand how widespread the crisis is. Are we talking about isolated hospitals, or is it a little bit more systemic? What is the story?
Well, look, this cookery's factory, which, as I said, it's a provincially run facility, provides 8,000 meals a day to six hospitals and a large number of community health centres. Now, these are, Sharpeke is by far the largest hospital that it serves, but there's a number of Pretoria hospitals, and also for some reason, the Nasia South Hospital, which is a bit ridiculous why they have to use a cookery's factory in the other side of Pretoria is supplying hospitals in Johannesburg. I think there's problems with the food contracts as a whole, because there's been a lot of controversy. There have been occasions when a hospital like Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital didn't even have bread. So, as usual, I suspect corruption with these food contracts. In fact, I mean, some of the groceries they're getting from companies in Limpopo and the Free State. Now, why on earth are we getting from another province? It's not as if we don't have many very good, cost-effective, reliable food suppliers in Gauteng. But look, it's happened for 2 weeks now. The provincial hospitals have gone without 8,000 plated food a day, and that's a substantial amount. So I think after I exposed it at Sharpeke Johannesburg Hospital, they tried to source elsewhere. The last I heard is that they were getting food from Helen Joseph Hospital. I mean, obviously, it's unsatisfactory to have to do things like this. There should have been proper contingency plans and an inquiry. How on earth do you get E. coli in food that is meant to be served to hospital patients? Imagine that you're a recovering hospital patient and you get poisoned by your hospital food. I mean, that's actually as big a scandal as the fact that, you know, people are getting really inadequate food.
And then, I mean, you've linked it to where I wanted to go, which is the issue of corruption. Food tenders, I would imagine, as a bigger subject. I'm just thinking we've experienced some massive fraudulent issues over the past while. I'm thinking of Tembisa in particular. And I'm wondering if all this sort of connects up to this issue of no food and second-rate care.
Well, absolutely. Look, the issue of food contracts, as I mentioned, for some bizarre reason, we piggybacked on provincial contracts in Limpopo and Free State. But I examined these contracts. I mean, some of these companies aren't even food companies. They just seem to be middlemen, and they also seem to be grossly overcharging. At one stage they were getting bread from the Free State. Why on earth would you get something as common as bread? We've got lots of competitive suppliers here in Gauteng. Why are you getting bread and other groceries from another province? So, as with anything in the Gauteng Health Department, and we saw it to the grossest degree possible with Tembisa Hospital. I think a lot of these contracts are suspect. But you're playing with people's lives here because food is just absolutely essential. And there are perpetual food crises in the Gauteng health system, and we need to ask why. So, in this particular case, you can trace it to the cook freeze factory, the Masakane cook freeze factory, which I think is terribly mismanaged in the first place. And we need to know why they found E. coli there. The facility was closed down by Tshwane health inspectors for good reason, I would imagine. And the Gauteng Health Department, only yesterday have they come out with a statement about what they're going to do to get this facility up and running. But 8,000 meals a day, plated meals, what a plated meal would be, meat, vegetables, a starch, a proper meal, not just bread and something else. So they have to replace 8,000 plated meals a day for six hospitals and a whole lot of community clinics. So that's quite a thing to have to do. I would have thought that they would have a contingency plan for this, and patients' interests would come first. But to serve, just a piece of bread and margarine and cheese for lunch is just really unacceptable.
So we've seen reports of shortages of staff vacancies and budget deficits of apparently up to 7 billion rand in Gauteng Health. So I guess my question is, how much of this crisis is about money versus management?
Well, it's an enormous budget. It's 67 billion rand, which is it's the largest budget after education in Gauteng, and unfortunately, much of it is stolen in one way or another, or used very ineffectively. Take the example of Tembisa Hospital. This is a mid-sized hospital. The entire budget for Tembisa Hospital this year is 1.6 billion rand. Now imagine over a period of 3 to 4 years, 2.3 billion rand that we know of was siphoned off from this one hospital alone. So that's the extent of the theft at Tembisa Hospital. And I do believe that it extends to other hospitals as well. There was a credible estimate that over the last 10 years, 20 billion rand in total had been stolen from the Gauteng Health Department. Now that's a huge amount of money. So if you took the existing budget, spent it efficiently and effectively, made sure that the money went to patients, not to buying Lamborghinis, because that's actually what happened, as we've seen with the masterminds behind what was happening at Tembisa Hospital. this money could go a long way. I mean, granted, there's a host of problems. There's a growing population. We're short of hospital beds, but we've got there's vacant hospital posts. Why aren't we filling them? There's machinery that keeps breaking down all the time. So apply the budget for what it's intended, namely providing a decent health service, and we could, you know, make dramatic improvements, but also put more competent people in charge of our hospitals. These hospitals are major enterprises. Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital has 6,000 staff and a budget of 4 billion rand. And if you look at the people that they put in charge there, they're sort of buddies. It's crony appointments, or what they call it, cadre deployment. You know, you don't play games with people's health. You put the best people possible and make sure that there's systems in place, and you get a clean audit at the end of the year. The DA in the Western Cape, of course, has been getting clean audits for their health department for several years now, so it can be done. And, you know, every year the Auditor General in Gauteng issues scathing reports about the Gauteng Health Department, and he makes recommendations. But every year these recommendations are just ignored. I mean, that's the tragedy of the thing.
That seems to be a piece of the puzzle that really is missing: accountability.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, one of the criticisms the Auditor General has made this year, and it's the same criticism he's made for several years now, is that there is no consequence management. There's no consequences. He said if people, you know, contravene regulations, officials, they have to be disciplined, and there's no discipline. There's no consequences. So at the moment, in fact, the head of the Gauteng Health Department, Mr. Lesibu Malatana, has been suspended by the Premier because he failed his lifestyle audit. Now, Mr. Malatana was appointed as head of the department in June last year, and I warned the Premier at the time. I said, but he's being investigated by the SIU for allegedly participating in a bribe with two other officials to influence a tender. Now, how on earth do you appoint someone who's being investigated by the SIU? So the Premier said, oh, there isn't a final report. You know, well, you know how long these investigations take, but still a high-risk thing to hire someone with that hanging over him. And anyway, so then there was he was subjected to a lifestyle audit, which he failed. So now department, you know, the problem is that he's been suspended. We've got an acting head of department. That's not ideal. You need a really competent, tip-top person to run the department. And there's so many acting positions. The chief financial officer position hasn't been filled for about 5 years now.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, we just seem to be having the same discussions year in and year out, and so little changes. I guess it's up to us as individuals to do something with our vote. I guess that's the only way to affect any significant and real change. So Jack Bloom, DA, Shadow Health MEC in Gauteng, seems like you have your work cut out for you, but thank you for chatting to me on Chai FM this afternoon.